This episode is sponsored by the wonderful Petra Kolp. Hello and welcome back to Film Pro Productivity and Success, the podcast that helps creative people to live a more focused, effective and happy life. My name is Carter Ferguson and this is episode 136, Lessons Learned in 2023, Part 1, Turning a Crisis into an Opportunity. A time of crisis is not just a time of anxiety and worry. It gives a chance, an opportunity to choose well or to choose badly. Desmond Tutu, unquote. Well, here we are at the last show of season 10, and it's been a tough one for me, I must admit, as I was only able to batch record perhaps three quarters of this season before it smashed right into another creative project of mine, my short festive horror film, The Traveller. And typically, I've completed the first pass on the edit of that film just as I come to record this show, which reminds me of a quote from Star Trek, The Search for Spock. It's Kirk who says, "Mr. Scott, you've fixed the barn door after the horse has come home." And I've really no justification for using that quote other than I like it. I want to get a Star Trek quote in this. It's my show and I can do it. But in last week's show, I revisited good old Demi Demi with three new motivational messages from the man, which we can all learn from. So if you missed it, please go back and check it out. It's 22 minutes of great advice. Winston Churchill said, "Never waste a good crisis." And I had planned today to cover something like five lessons learned from shooting a creative project in 2023 or something like that. But after careful consideration, I've actually decided to focus down on just one of those things. And I often refer to this as turning bad luck into good luck. But from a slight scratch of the surface of the topic during my research, this is more commonly referred to as turning a crisis into an opportunity. And it's something that I've been aware of in the past because I'm into my stoicism, and I'll touch on that a little bit later on, but I felt it was definitely worth an episode here, and so here it is. In a time of crisis, we all have the potential to morph up to a new level and do things we never thought possible. Stuart Wilde, unquote. And I can give you at least a couple of examples of this from The Traveller, this short film of mine. And both come from problems that we had when trying to lock down locations, as both our main locations had serious issues as the days approached during which we had to shoot on them. And the first of these was a petrol station in Arica. Now, the people we were negotiating with from that fuel company will adamantly deny all of this, but here it is as I experienced it. We had basically 3 weeks of conversations about the location all along the way, with them saying that they couldn't see any issue with it, but as things unfolded and got closer to the date, we never seemed to get any closer to having it actually locked. We just kept on hearing this "we don't see a problem" thing. And after days of risk assessment and providing proof of insurance, two location visits, permission from the landholder who was leasing them the place, and a lot of schmoozing, we got to, I think it was pretty much the day before, perhaps it was 2 days before, and we still didn't have it locked. And we, of course, were pressing them for this, but even on that the morning that we finally found out we weren't going to get it, we had received an email from another level of management. This one was the health and safety guy saying that he didn't see a problem with it either. But that same afternoon, like I think it was like 24 hours or 36 hours before we were due to shoot there, we got an email from, I had a whole team standing by, so I was desperately trying to get this information out of them. We got a message through which effectively said no. Or rather, it said we can shoot, but we can only shoot if we don't use our own cameras, we use other cameras, and we can't use batteries or mains power in these cameras. I'm not making this up. So what are they supposed to be powered by? Wind? I don't know. And also, we couldn't go within 4 metres and 20 centimetres of any of the pumps. And given that the door to the petrol station shop, which was what specifically we needed this place for, was approximately 4 metres and 20 centimetres away from the nearest pump, it effectively meant that we couldn't use the location at all anyway. So that was a complete and utter nightmare. But simultaneous to this, we were having negotiations with a park in Glasgow to get access and to shoot the day after we were supposed to be shooting in Arnaker, at the petrol station. And again, we'd provided everything that was required of us, including more detailed risk assessments and, at no small expense, a £5 million insurance policy, all of which had been requested of us. And at the same, almost the same time anyway, as we lost the first location, it came through to us that we couldn't use this second location either, although it wasn't entirely clear at that stage why. And this was all, as you can understand, a phenomenal nightmare that interrupted the flow and the time frames of everything else that I was arranging at the time, including, although certainly not exclusively, the recording of this podcast's next few shows. Everything had to get pushed aside in order to deal with this catastrophic problem, this crisis that was coming up with locations. As I say, all these people we had were standing by and we couldn't even give them dates. And the petrol station loss was a clear and total one, as the parameters that they had set out for us ensured that it just could not ever be recovered, at least not in so short a space of time. So we immediately started looking for an alternative on that one. And I had previously discussed with Neil and Christina, that's the DOP and the other producer, prior to this, the idea that the scene could equally well be shot in a roadside coffee van or burger van. So we started thinking about that sort of thing, and it was our lead actor, Paddy, that suggested a location that, which, funnily enough, I'd visited just a couple of weeks before. So after a night of virtual reccing, which is going on to Google and having a look around for alternative locations, we went straight there the very next morning, quite early on, to try and pin down a new location. And this was like a drive-through coffee shop, which has very, very nice food, I would hasten to add. And it was, as we got there, pretty darn perfect, as it happens. And as I looked about, I realised that the scene would likely work absolutely fine there. And it wasn't perhaps as compact a space and maybe as artistically, creatively interesting a space as I'd have liked, but it was an excellent alternative. So after a quick negotiation and a short delay, as we waited for permission from head office, we walked away with a deal to shoot there on the Friday. And I think this was on some like the Thursday. My days on this might be off a little because it's all a little bit hazy. But some 300 quid later, we had the place locked, and that location was available for us to shoot in. And the fee, by the way, not only covered our use of the far end of their car park where we were going to set most of the action, but it also allowed us to shoot some stuff actually at the cafe end of the car park as well, and also covered all of our food and drinks and the use of their toilet. So yes, it was more costly than the original, but it was far simpler to pull together. And I can tell you now, it worked absolutely fine for what we were doing and was an excellent alternative location. I don't think it's going to be any particularly story-wise any different from the petrol station location. You never have real changes unless you have a time of crisis. Milton Friedman, unquote. And as for our second difficulty, locking down the park, I took the bull by the horns and I went and spoke directly with the manager there, the park manager. And I think on that one there had just been a little bit of miscommunication. I think perhaps they hadn't really read what we'd sent them, or perhaps they'd never actually thought that we were serious about the whole thing. So it was easier perhaps for them to put the whole thing off. I'm reading between the lines here, I'm guessing, to be honest. But I did feel that the hoops we had to jump through for the council really maybe had a purpose of scaring off people who couldn't be bothered dealing with all that. But we dealt with all that and we were sitting trying to lock it down when there appeared to be a problem. Anyway, I was aiming for dry weather and I couldn't predict what it was going to be like the following week, but I agreed in effect directly with the manager that we would shoot no matter the weather. And we agreed some costs. So I think we kind of didn't quite agree the costs. I wasn't sure if it was going to run to thousands or hundreds, and as it was just in the hundreds, so it was fine. And I had to arrange a a Portaloo. That was the other difficulty, because the nearest toilet was 3.5 kilometres away. So any that had to go to the loo would be in a 7 kilometres round trip. And for those of you that are interested in this sort of thing, it's £252 to have a Portaloo for one day, or it was, I think it was there for eight hours, or was it less? 7 hours? 7 or 8 hours. And that was the cost on that one, which is a bit of a killer. Anyway, it all worked out. And as it happened, even though I couldn't predict what the weather was going to be like when I made the agreement, it was moved like a week down the line, basically. We had a perfect night for it, a far better night, in fact, than the weather would have been on the initial day that we tried to lock down. And just one other thing that's in the same vein as all this, another thing that happened on the night we were shooting there, which was a bit of a crisis in the moment, as it meant we didn't complete on that day, due was that the DOP, Neil, lost the keys for his van, and that meant we couldn't complete. But I went in the very next morning, I begged for a brief access for just myself and Neil to the area that we needed, and we were given permission to shoot there as long as we were out by 6. So I think we were in at 4 and or quarter to 4 or something like that, and we left by 6. And that also benefited us, as we actually were able to shoot within that time frame a few more things than we would have been able to shoot the night before. So that all worked out too. So all of these problems, all of these crises effectively, led to a series of better opportunities on the film. Even the delay waiting for access to the park gave us, as I say, better weather and the opportunity to prep more for that day. I had an extra week to prep the design stuff. Unfortunately, in this one, it's just sod's law. I ended up doing all the design work on it, which was, I have got to say, a bit of a killer, because I was already producing, directing, writer, vehicle coordinator, you know, all these other things, and it was a bit of a drag, but anyway, I'm going off on one there. It all worked out. and the crisis that we went through along the way, they were very real, and they were quite stressful to live through, but we simply kept ahead, we refocused, and we kept good communications going with everyone, and we solved things as we went along. Times of crisis, of disruption, or constructive change are not always predictable, but are desirable. They mean growth. Taking a new step, uttering a new word, is what people fear the most. Fyodor Dostoevsky, unquote. We're often judged by how we do in times of crisis, and it's something that over the years I like to believe I have become better and better at. But it's a skill, and it's something that can be learned. Navigating life's challenges and crisis can be a painful struggle. In the moment, it's hard to see how tough times can ever lead to growth and opportunity. But as it turns out, the mental fortitude required to turn lemons into lemonade, for example, is a very valuable skill to develop. Research even shows that hardiness is the key to the resiliency for not only surviving, but also thriving under stress. Hardiness enhances performance, leadership, conduct, stamina, mood, and both physical and mental health. And I did quote that one, and I've got to admit, I didn't write down where I got that quote from, so I'm sorry. So, important quote, unquote. Here's one I do know who the quote was from, though, and it's from Marcus Aurelius, who said, "The cucumber is bitter, then throw it out. There are brambles in the path, then go around. That's all you need to know." Here's a few thoughts on how to turn a crisis into an opportunity. First on my list here is to take a deep breath and collect your thoughts. It's all too easy to let panic and stress control your thoughts, but allowing those emotions to take over won't lead to growth. When your mind spirals and catastrophizes, you need to breathe deeply and remind yourself that this moment will pass. And the phrase, "this too shall pass," in fact, is what has gotten me through my darkest times. So if you're ever struggling, you're ever worried, you ever feel that things have gone so badly wrong that you can't deal with it, just remind yourself that this too shall pass, that tomorrow this catastrophe, this crisis will be behind you. Take that deep breath and collect your thoughts. Second, in crisis, when it appears, you can reach out for the assistance of others. Sometimes you just can't do it all yourself. So reach out to those people that you trust and seek advice. Don't just reach out randomly to everyone unless you can manage that feedback. But if people you trust might give you better, a few people you trust might give you better advice than just throwing it out there on social media saying help. And without the direct help of Christina Littleson, Neil McMillan and Patrick O'Brien on my film, when these difficult situations arose on the shoot, I would really have struggled to find alternative solutions to the problem. So don't allow yourself to be overwhelmed by simply asking for help, you can increase your odds of resolving the issue. Third, don't allow your perception of the crisis to cloud your judgments. When crisis strikes, you might feel like your life is over and that there's no hope for a better future. But realistically, that's probably far from the truth. People bounce back from disaster every day. You can challenge those perceptions and you can bounce back too. It's kind of along with this too shall pass thing. But, challenge your own perceptions. Rewrite your headspace if you feel it's going in that direction. Number four, use this time to reevaluate your plans. Sometimes difficult experiences are the perfect wake-up call and a good catalyst for change. So when crisis strikes, use it as an opportunity to think about what you really want out of life. Number five, remember that you can't control the past. Accepting that we can't control the past can be a difficult thing to accept, but it's impossible to embrace the future while you're obsessing over your past failures and mistakes. I used to say this when I was doing acting, especially on stage. If you've messed up a line and you're kicking yourself for messing up the line, the chances are you're going to mess up the next line. So when you fluff that line, when something goes wrong, forget about it and move on. Otherwise, that worry can absolutely ruin everything else you're going to do. It could ruin the rest of the show or the rest of the scene if you get sidetracked by it. And it's exactly the same in this situation. As I say, it's impossible to embrace the future while you're obsessing over past failures and mistakes. So don't allow yourself to feel helpless or hopeless. Simply remember that you can control your actions, focus your energy on future possibilities, and keeping a healthy mindset. And you'll be much closer to turning crisis into opportunity if you do that. Number six, when faced with chronic issues and setbacks, learn how to look at the bigger picture. Some crises are acute and will only happen once, and others are more chronic and happen throughout your life. Things like depression, anxiety, struggles with self-esteem, and other long-lasting dilemmas can occur throughout your life. So to move beyond that cycle of struggle, practice assessing your own emotions and behaviours without judgment. It will be much easier to objectively assess the bigger picture and see the path forward if you're not caught up in your own stuff. So try and look at the bigger picture. Number seven, and this is a big one, accept that crisis will happen. And this is my mindset whenever I go into anything new, and it's a stoic philosophy. And you've probably heard the frustrating but true maxim that the only constant in life is change. Crises are unavoidable, whether it's a relationship breakdown or getting fired. We will all face some sort of hardship in our lives, but adapting how we view and approach these struggles might actually allow you to turn them into something meaningful. Number eight, learn from your mistakes. And it's perhaps the simplest of all the opportunities that come from a crisis is to grow. To allow you to grow as individuals as a result of dealing with the disaster. You know, don't make the same mistake twice, or if you do make it twice, don't make sure you don't make it a third time. Keep focused on that and prepare for it the next time. Be prepared for it. I've learnt a lot, as I say, I've got quite a lot I've learnt from this film, but a lot of them are lessons that I have experienced in the past. This is actually one I've experienced on a number of occasions as well, this turning a crisis into an opportunity, but it was very, very distinctly applicable to this one because of what happened with those locations. Anyway, finally, number nine, have a backup plan. Anticipate what might go wrong, but basically think negatively about things and have something ready. I kind of get tricked into believing that all was well with these locations because I was getting this positive feedback. Yeah, we don't see any problems or anything like that, but I just couldn't pin it down. So I didn't have a backup plan ready to go when it turned around and one of them said, no, you can't shoot here. But I did have some ideas about it. I had some thoughts, but I just hadn't fully prepped things. So don't be lulled into a false sense of security by people who effectively are lying to you because they're trying to be polite or nice or whatever. Have a plan just in case important things fall through at the last minute. And let me end this one today by just adding that change and growth rarely happen when we're comfortable. I did a show about this, getting comfortable being uncomfortable. Growth and fundamental levels of change only tend to occur when we're out of our comfort zone. So we might look at the crisis that we face as a blessing in disguise, albeit an unwanted one. At the heart of turning crisis into opportunity is mental reframing. You don't have to ignore the reality of a situation, but you can change how you view it. So use the experience of being out of your comfort zone to seize opportunities. Out of adversity comes opportunity. Benjamin Franklin, unquote. And I must end this there, as I have a shoot to arrange for Sunday now, which I wasn't expecting to come in while I was recording this, and I'm basically out of time. But I urge you to look at the Stoic philosophers that delve into this topic. Look specifically at Marcus Aurelius or Seneca for some great advice on this stuff. Aurelius said, "Demand not that events should happen as you wish, but wish them to happen as they do happen, and your life will be serene." So let that be your motto when it comes to times of crisis. And remember, too, the words of Seneca, who said, "To bear trials with a calm mind robs misfortune of its strength and burden." I'll say that one more time. To bear trials with a calm mind robs misfortune of its strength and burden. So I'm going offline again, folks, for 12 weeks. I've tried the show weekly for a year now, and I don't think it's necessary for me to do that anymore. It's the show continues to go. I'm going to go back to my 12 weeks on, 12 weeks off again. It worked for me for a few years. I don't see any... I mean, you're getting more episodes, but I don't feel the need to produce any more than I'm already producing. And that's partly because I've got shows going out bi-weekly as well on YouTube for the next 14 months on the YouTube channel at Film Pro Productivity. Can't speak. At Film Pro Productivity 3443, or if you want, just search YouTube for Film Pro Productivity and it will appear before you. But I think 12 episodes, which is 3 months, then 3 months off, and then 12 episodes is a better way for me to proceed. It gives me time to do other things, and I definitely, as you can tell, have been struggling with time to get stuff done. But I will be looking for a new executive producer and 12 new episode sponsors before season 11 airs with episode, is it 137? I think it is, and that I've did a quick look before I recorded this show. I think it's the 14th of May 2023. I could be wrong. I may have miscounted that one. But if you're interested in backing the show, the executive producer, there's only one of them for the whole season. That gets your name on every episode, and it's £150. It also gets your name in the show notes of every show with links, your own links, business links, whatever, and listed in the end credits of the show, anything else you want to put in there, basically, as well, within reason. Sponsorships, though, episode sponsorships are by an episode-by-episode basis, and they cost just £15 per show, with your name and links in the credits, and your name spoken by me, like in this one, it was Petra sponsored this one at the top of the show, in the form of, "This episode is sponsored by, you know, insert name here." And I accept PayPal payments for this one only at the moment. If I know you face-to-face, I'll take cash. And I might be able to do bank transfer, but basically it's easier with PayPal. So please get in touch if it's of interest to you. And if you love the show and you genuinely want to hear more episodes, the only reason I can keep on doing this is because people are listening. So the less people that listen, the less likelihood it is that I'm going to be doing any more. So I'd like to know that people are out there. So I have one big request, and that is, if you haven't done so already, please go on to Apple Podcasts and leave me a positive review of the show. I'd greatly appreciate it. So there's other shows you can listen to over the next few weeks. I would suggest things like the Indie Film Hustle Podcast Network. Go there. And there's loads of shows on that. And the other big one to, of course, recommend is the Filmmakers Podcast, run by Giles Alderson, who's a great guy. Great show. I'm listening to an episode of theirs at the moment. There's loads of other podcasts out there. I might even ask some of these other podcasts that I admire if they've got a trailer. And I'll maybe put a few trailers up here for other shows. Would that be of something of interest to you? Just to fill in this 12 weeks where I'm going off the air. Let me know if that's something that you'd be interested in. But let me end today with some words from Rudyard Kipling. Nearly misspoke that. Rudyard Kipling, who said in his poem, If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then yours is the earth and everything that's in it. Now take control of your own destiny, my friends. Keep on shooting and join me next season on Film Pro Productivity and Success. Now, the music that you can hear right now is Adventures by Ihemitsu, and the exec producer of this season was Christopher McPhillips from Artos Digital. You can view the show notes for this episode only on the official website, filmproproductivity.com, but you can also follow my account on Twitter, my personal accounts on Twitter and Instagram, @fight_director, or follow the show itself on Twitter @filmproprodpod, or on Facebook @filmproproductivity. Please continue to support the show by subscribing, spreading the word, and leaving an awesome review.